Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're from D.C., chances are you've had at least one of the famous chili dogs from Ben's Chili Bowl. But how does one of U Street's oldest black-owned businesses stand the test of time? Well, the famous food stop is celebrating 60 years, and tonight we'll talk to one of the co-founders who will reveal the closely guarded secret recipe of the chili. Yeah, I'm just kidding. my guests are Virginia Ali, co-founder of Ben's Chili Bowl, and family member Vita Ali. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And if I can't get the recipe out of her, perhaps some of our callers may be able to twist it out. Miss Virginia, good to see you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Vita, nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So 60 years, 1958, set the scene for me when you and your husband decided to open this restaurant. What was happening in D.C. then?
D.C. was, you know, there was still some segregation being practiced, but I worked, first of all, at an industrial bank.
Right. One of the other longstanding black businesses.
Longstanding business that I'm so proud of. And my husband came from Trinidad to matriculate at our universities, and he was actually at Howard for a while in dental school. And because he had a severe accident, he wasn't able to complete the dental program. He spent probably a year and a half here. And, of course, he had to work his way through college because back in those days, financial aid isn't as it is today. So he worked while in undergraduate school and even in dental school. He worked in restaurants to help supplement his income, the little money that he was getting from home. Mm-hmm. And I came from Virginia to live in Washington, D.C., and to find a job. And, of course, Industrial Bank was the first offer I had, and I took that, and I was very happy with it. That bank has been there now a very long time and now being operated by the third generation. Mm-hmm. So we had our own bank. We had Howard University, of course, in walking distance, and we had our own businesses, the Lincoln Theater, the Republic Theater, the Booker T., where our first-rate movies were shown. The Howard Theater was where our major entertainers performed. So we had this wonderful community with all our African-American businesses located in that Shaw community.
How did the idea of Ben's Chili Bowl formulate?
Well, because Ben and I met and fell in love and wanted to be married, and he was no longer in school, he wanted to be self-employed, and the one thing that he knew and knew well was a restaurant business. So he thought this might be something that we really should try. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we don't want full service, and there were all kinds of hamburger places around town. Let's open a place that specializes in chili and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, where do we do that? We do that in the most popular area for African Americans, which would have been U Street, known at that time as Black Broadway.
Right.
Because of our numerous entertainment venues along that corridor. So we're now looking for the spot. We found it at 1213 U, which initially was an old silent movie theater called Minnehaha. Mm-hmm. It was being operated as a pool hall when we were able to get it. Yeah. And when we found that place and were able to lease the property, we found the architect, the contractor, the plumber, the electrician, the cabinet maker, all in our community.
That's amazing.
And those service people served us to the duration of their career. William Chandler Company was our electric company until he retired. Our plastic store man, Mr. Garrett, who built the counters and booths in the chili bowl that are still there today, did his final repair on that work at age 80. So we had this wonderful community with all that kind of support. It was an ideal place to be. Theaters next door that had first-rate movies, that was a show at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and a late show on weekends. Built-in business.
You know, it's funny when you... This was 1958. In the 59, 60, 61 time, and this is a story that I'll share with you just to show you just how deeply embedded Ben's Chili Bowl is in the fabric of D.C. history, particularly in the black community. My mother, who went to D.C. Teachers, she used to tell me that when she was a very young woman at that time, a college student, that after hanging out and going to parties, that Ben's Chili Bowl is where you went.
Yes.
That's where she went when she was in her late teens, 20 years old, when, you know, you go out with the fellas and you go to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Very true. And we had these wonderful late hours. The clubs closed at 2. We were open until 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday and Saturday nights. We still are, by the way.
I have to ask my mother about hanging out at that hour. She still hangs out.
Well, sometimes you could just pick a bag up and take it with you. You know, you didn't have to hang out right there. But I'm sure she was fine.
Yeah, she and still is.
And it was a wonderful community. And we had these little after-hour spots that were very special. 6:52, then you had to be known to go there to listen to jazz and meet friends and mingle.
I'm talking to Virginia Ali, co-founder of Ben's Chili Bowl, along with Vita Ali. I'm part of the Ben's Chili Bowl family. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Virginia, why chili?
Well, Ben called it adding spice to America. Mm-hmm. It was a spicy sauce, a homemade spicy sauce that just absolutely made a chili dog or a hair smoke, which was something that he wanted to put into a steamed hot dog bun with mustard and onions, and it's absolutely delicious. So the chili sauce was the key to the success of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's chili sauce. It's not like the chili that one might find, you know, with the bowl and the crackers and lumpy. It's more of a sauce.
It is a sauce. We do have the chili con carne served with beans and vegetables and beef, of course, or the vegetarian version. So we have that as well. But initially, the chili sauce, and back in those days, you know, it was not uncommon for somebody to just come and say, 12 to go, 10 to go, 5 to go kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's changed now. It's now more about the experience. It's now more about the essence of the place. It's now about the history and being a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the interesting things, Vita. Obviously, you are one of the younger members of the family. But I would imagine that, like they say, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Even when U Street has moved through issues regarding, for example, now gentrification and everything else, one could argue that Ben's Chili Bowl, even though you've expanded, it's still the same place. Would you say that?
You know what I think is incredible? We hear generations coming back. Now they're like the fourth generation coming to the bowl. And one of the things I love hearing over and over, it's still the same when they used to come as a child and now they're in their 50s, 60s, or 70s and they're saying what this place meant and it has never changed. And I think that's one of the beauty of the legacy is if you come back, if sometimes they go out of town and they come back 20, 30 years later and it feels like they went back in time or they feel like they're still in the same place with the same energy that they got.
Why is that important to the business aspect of Ben's Chili Bowl?
I don't think it's important to the business aspect. I think it's important to our legacy and what the family represents. I think our mom started the philosophy, once you enter, you're treated as family, not as a guest or someone just trying to buy a hot dog. It's literally we treat them as they're a guest in our home. And that's important because when they return, we almost have a catch-up session where we want to know what happened in the next 30 years, the last 30 years. And I think it's become that place where it's life moves in time, but it's like a family moving in time as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Ben's Chili Bowl, one of the iconic African-American-owned restaurants on U Street, celebrating 60 years. 60 years. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Michelle, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, me?
Yes, ma'am. What's on your mind?
My name is Michelle Henson.
Okay.
And I have to comment on the chili cheeseburgers. I grew up on 14 W Street. And back then, the chili cheeseburgers was all up it. And so I took a picture with Miss Virginia before Mr. Ben Ollie. But I'm 60 years old, and so I have to comment on how the chili cheeseburgers was like that.
Well, thank you so much.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. That's very special.
Yeah, yes, it is. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Leon, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Leon. What's on your mind?
Thank you. No, I was calling to tell Virginia. I'm the guy that used to stop by. Every time I see her now, I always tell her how beautiful she is, you know. But I used to come in there when I was younger and she was younger. You know,
that was a long time ago.
Wait a minute. Leon's trying to start some stuff. Leon, this is a family show.
A lot of people can't take the truth. I'm just telling the truth, okay?
Thank you, Leon.
She'll remember me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Leon, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Things changed in D.C. in 1968 after the assassination of Dr. King. And for D.C. natives like myself and others, it really was a watershed moment personally, but also in American history. What happened from your perspective with Ben's Chili Bowl, the family, U Street in 68?
Well, I mean, Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, 50 years ago. It was just a horrendous experience. I mean, someone just runs into the front door and said, "Ben, Dr. King has been shot." Well, no one's accepting that. That can't be the case. And then someone else comes in and says the same thing, and someone else. And finally we get a transistor radio, and they're playing hymns, and we learn that Dr. King is in fact dead. Everybody's crying. The sadness was overwhelming. And then after a while, that sadness turned into frustration. And the frustration, of course, later turned into an uprising that literally destroyed the community. It really did. Ben wrote on our window, "Soul Brother."
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but several other businesses did that as well to identify us as an African-American-owned business. We were the only place that was allowed to remain open during a three-night curfew.
Mm-hmm.
And that provided a place for first responders, police officers, city officials, and even a few activists. It was a frightening time.
I'm sure you remember just the devastation on H Street.
Yeah.
And there's a book that you may be familiar with that was written by Washington Post reporters called 10 Blocks from the White House.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating examination of the horrific destruction of black businesses at that time, because we didn't just have U Street, there was also the H Street corridor, which was
right,
a black,
exactly.
and Georgia Avenue
Street
and 14th Street.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You said you were the only businesses allowed to stay open. Was there at any point at which you worried that you all may sustain some damage?
Absolutely. We were afraid. I mean, you had to go home at some point and take a rest. You're not sure that a Molotov cocktail wasn't coming into the window while you're at home. We had been there 10 years by that time, and we were well readily accepted by that community. And the community, so many of the folks in that community found this to be their little hangout spot, mm-hmm. particularly the young guys that grew up in the neighborhood. One drove a cab, one worked in the post office, one did illegal numbers, one was a mechanic, and one was in college, you know, just an array of people that was in the chili bowl every single evening.
I want to hear more about this, and we're going to hear more from you and Vita about 60 years of Ben's Chili Bowl here in the District of Columbia. Also, we're going to talk to Hassan, we're going to talk to Jared, we're going to talk to Fred. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 60 years of Ben's Chili Bowl. Stay on the line. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about 60 years of Ben's Chili Bowl, the restaurant on D.C.'s U Street corridor. My guests are Virginia Ali, co-founder of Ben's Chili Bowl, and Vita Ali, one of the many family members that is helping to carry on the legacy of this incredible part of D.C. history. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Miss Virginia, we were talking about 1968. When did things begin to calm down?
Well, the National Guard was present, of course, and after three nights, we kind of began to get a little bit quieter. A little bit quieter. And, of course, the black movies were coming out. It was just wonderful to have. Black was beautiful, and we had a time of experiencing some pride.
Did you have an afro? Tell the truth.
I didn't have an afro. I did let it go natural, but it wasn't too big.
some big earrings,
oh,
and some stacks,
yeah.
And some bell bottoms.
All right, but you know, after that, after that period was over, the businesses didn't reopen,
mm-hmm.
And of course, middle class began to move away.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few years later, heroin moved in,
yeah,
and then crack, and we took a 20-year downturn and became a serious ghetto. It was so sad to see that happen to this wonderful, classy community.
And it's interesting because, as you mentioned, that when you look at black business communities, the same thing happened for Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore.
Yes.
And some of the so-called historic Chitlin circuits in the South.
That's right.
And so D.C. was not alone. How did, and certainly, you know, Vita, please, you know, if you have some insight to this also, but how were you able to survive that 20-year downturn?
Well, you know, by that time, we had been able to purchase the property. That made a big difference. And at the end of that 20-year, I mean, I had a difficult time because people were afraid to come to U Street. Your car would get broken into. And there was crime everywhere. I mean, I could tell you stories you wouldn't believe.
Oh, or I would believe. because it wasn't just U Street. It was Florida Avenue and,
right,
and all
exactly.
of these other issues.
And the Washington Post emphasized the 14th and U drug corridor, murder capital of the world. All those negative comments were coming out during that time. It was horrible. It really was just simply horrible. And then at the end of that 20-year period,
things began to change.
The city decided to build us a subway. We were now the poorest area in the city, and finally get the subway that was promised to us so many years earlier. So when they decided to build that subway, they found three surviving businesses in the immediate vicinity: Industrial Bank, Lee's Flower Shop, and Ben's Chili Bowl.
Mm.
Not enough to maintain one lane of traffic on that beautiful wide Broadway called U Street.
Mm-hmm.
They simply dug the entire street up. 65 feet down. I had one employee. And when the sun started to go down, we had to go home because there were no streetlights out there while they built that subway system. That was the worst experience of all.
Were you afraid at some point that the business would not survive?
No, I kept thinking that, and Ben too, that this is the nation's capital. This is the capital of the world back there, right? The nation's capital. How can that not come back? It has to come back. And it's back.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Ben's Chili Bowl celebrating 60 years on U Street. Let's talk to Fred. Fred calling. Oh, we lost Fred. Let's talk to Jared calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jared. What's on your mind? Jared, are you there?
How's it going? This is Dr. Jared Conley. It's been a true pleasure to listen to the discussion up to this point. And I definitely salute the legacy. The 60 years of history is definitely something to be celebrated. And my question for you two ladies are, could you speak to some of the racial injustices or some of the roadblocks that you may have faced, you know, as a black business in your 60-year history? And do you see any similarities in what we see happening today?
Interesting question.
Well, yes, it is an interesting question. Well, of course there were impediments, you know. I mean, if we wanted to expand or we wanted to go national, the money wasn't available to us.
You mean from loans and the like?
From loans and the like, exactly. That one, because we were African-American, that wasn't so easy to come by. And during the bad times that we were there, just having insurance wasn't an option. There was a period of time when you couldn't really get insurance because of the crime and the downturn of the community. So there were all kinds of impediments back and along the way. And I think, I don't know what today is like. My sons are the ones now out here operating the businesses and opening the new ones. And I think they're definitely still racial bias.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely is. To what extent now? I hope it's not as bad as it was back in our time.
You know, and thank you, Jared, for your phone call. You mentioned change, and Vita, certainly I'd like you to speak to this too. We have seen, as Miss Virginia has described, that kind of heyday of U Street, the riots, the economic and social downturn. And now we're smack dab in the middle of this period of gentrification, or some would say renewal, depending on your point of view. How does that affect institutions like Ben's Chili Bowl and U Street with the change that we've seen in U Street?
You know, I think that's a good question, because we welcome the city's growth. I think that's important for any city. But the sadness of it, like what Mom says, the regulars and the family that we had, they could no longer afford to stay in D.C., so you found they moved out of D.C. And that was kind of sad, because those are the ones that made Ben's Ben's. Every day, whether it was a cup of coffee or just to come and hang out and hear the music and so forth, over time you saw that kind of faded. Now, so much so, it's a blessing when they come in, because it's like an old friend, an old family member coming back in. So now it's almost like it's open to a larger and more extended family. And, you know, Mom's philosophy has always been everyone is treated as, you know, family when they walk in. So we welcome all and we treat all the same. But in that time when you were seeing the change and hearing the stories, I think that's always sad for any city to experience, even though I won't say you can't stop it, because that's just a natural progression. But I wish there was a way to always incorporate those that are there and not make it so expensive so they can't afford that city life that they once had. I think that's the only downside to that.
But one of the things that we've seen recently, over the past 10 years now, you could argue that with the election of President Obama and coming to Ben's Chili Bowl, for us, you weren't just on the map, you were the map, okay? But for many people who were paying more attention, black folks and otherwise, paying more attention to politics and presidencies and the like because of the election of President Obama, and then when he came to Ben's Chili Bowl and would talk about it, didn't that have a powerful impact on the business?
It did have a powerful impact. His visit had a very serious effect on it. You know, as soon as we got the subway open and the new business started to come in, white folks moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd walk into the Chili Bowl on some evenings and you'd see 10 black people and the rest of them, everybody's white.
Well, if you could walk in.
Yeah, I mean,
because
really,
chances
really.
Are you couldn't walk in. You walked to the sidewalk and you stood outside.
It was pretty interesting. Yeah. But when Obama came and made it his first visit to eat out in Washington after he was elected, it was just before the inauguration, maybe 10 days before the inauguration. So it was in all the newspapers all over the country that President Obama had been to the Ben's Chili Bowl. So now all these African Americans in particular, coming from all over this country for this historic event, wound up wanting to come to Ben's Chili Bowl. There was a line that January day all day long, mm-hmm. in the very bitter cold, with people from warm climates like Miami and California, and it did have a serious impact and kind of made it the place to be because President Obama was there. Now, we'd been on the map a little bit before, but not like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, you not just on the map, but really Ben's Chili Bowl was X marks the spot.
And then, of course, a couple of years after he'd been in office, here comes the president of France, President Sarkozy, and his beautiful model wife. And when he came, which was a bigger surprise to me than Obama coming, the French, I didn't think they hung out with regular folks. But, but when he came, you know, he said, well, a friend suggested I come here, insinuating that friend, of course, was President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been to Ben's Chili Bowl. I'm assuming that the photographs are still on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about the big photograph, quote unquote, the mural. When did that come about?
The mural is interesting in Washington, D.C., not just Ben's, but ours is a very prominent one. But our council member, Jim Graham, I believe, was the one that suggested that murals might eliminate graffiti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has. So our first mural went up about 6 years ago. And, of course, you know, it had four subjects. That was Bill Cosby prominently, mm-hmm. on the biggest one on there, and President Obama,
mm-hmm.
Donnie, and Chuck Brown.
Yeah, Donnie Simpson and Chuck Brown. Yeah.
Right. And we thoroughly enjoyed that. It was just absolutely amazing. And then, of course, after the controversy with Bill, people began to mess with it. Bill is my dear friend, and I would never take it down.
Mm-hmm.
But people began to mutilate it. Some people covered it up. People gave me a very hard time for that.
Was it hard to deal with the controversy and that Bill Cosby had gone through? Because prior to that, Bill Cosby was Bill Cosby.
And he was our friend. Since 1959, he started coming to the Chili Bowl when he was not famous.
Mm-hmm.
He was not rich. He had not even met Camille. He was in the Navy out in Bethesda, the Bethesda Naval Hospital, as a hospital corpsman.
Mm-hmm.
So when he wanted to be entertained, it wasn't in Bethesda in 1959. He would have to come to our community, and he loved jazz, and we had all kinds of fabulous jazz venues. And, of course, he fell in love with Ben's Chili Bowl and the Chili Half Smoke. So, yes, it was difficult, but I had my conversations with him,
mm-hmm.
and he was a family member to me,
mm-hmm.
and he still is a family member. Mm-hmm. But after some time, a long time, I mean 2 or 3 years after this thing happened, it began to look really bad,
mm-hmm.
because people had picked at it and covered it and uncovered it, and the media had given me a hard time. Fox 5 stood out front the door ask people, what do you think? Don't you think it should come down? That kind of thing. Finally, with Vita's help and the rest of the family's help, we decided to, okay, let's just whitewash the whole wall.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah.
And then why don't we, what do we do now? She came up with the idea of, let's have the community go online and vote for whom we should put there. And mm-hmm. that's what we have there today.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one of the difficult things for, you know, for me, and I remember this, you know, gosh, when Jim Vance stood there during his last days and talked about how much he loved D.C., how much love he had received from D.C., and mentioning, you know, Ben's. And as I said before, for so many Washingtonians, this restaurant isn't a restaurant. It is a home away from home, as you suggested, Vita. Just a very, very powerful place. I need to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about Ben's Chili Bowl 2018, some of the things that you're doing in the community, how the business is expanding, and what Mom has to say about the plans for Ben's Chili Bowl 2020 and 2120 and beyond.
Mom is almost 85.
That's all right. Well, you know, they say black don't crack. You look wonderful. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Ben's Chili Bowl. Stay with us.
www.publiccharters.org.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about 60 years of Ben's Chili Bowl restaurant on D.C.'s historic U Street corridor. I'm sitting here with Virginia Ali, co-founder of Ben's Chili Bowl, and Vita Ali, one of their many family members. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. During the break, I mentioned Aretha Franklin, and of course, you know, both of you, you perked up about Aretha Franklin and Ben's Chili Bowl. Virginia, please tell that story.
Well, Vita was the one. Then who got the? I think
no,
I got the call.
You got the call.
I answered the phone.
And
she
Mom said,
"She said, hi, this is Aretha Franklin." I mean, you're right.
So Mom puts her on hold, and she goes, "Vita, I don't know who is on the phone, but they say it's Aretha Franklin. She's saying it's Aretha Franklin, and she would like for us to do cater her event." So I go upstairs and I answer, and it was Aretha on the phone. And it was so cute because she was having the Obamas at the at her concert at Constitution Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's heard of Ben's, but she knew she wouldn't have time to come by. So she asked if we can cater it. So it was a really special catering because she's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and it's so sad that she's no longer with us. But as you can see from the outpour of love, she was definitely loved and appreciated for her talent as well as a human being.
You know, I can't imagine having the ability to, at the last minute when you have an Aretha Franklin come in and say, "No, I don't want a hot dog or a bag of 12. I need an event catered now.
At Constitution Hall. Yeah. We took it down there.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It was Aretha Franklin. What do you mean, how do you do that?
No, I'm saying, how do you do that and not miss a step with John and Jane Public walking in, you know?
Mom has been beautifully dancing that dance for 60 years. She can walk with the presidents and walk with the homeless, and I think that's one of the blessings when you ask what's the secret. I think the chili is the secret recipe for in terms of food, but love is the secret recipe for keeping the doors open.
You've expanded considerably. One could argue fourfold. You've got Ben's Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first
door,
one.
Right next door. We share the same wall, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second one was the stadium.
Nat
mm-hmm. Stadium. Mm-hmm. The baseball team is. When they built that stadium, we've been in there. And I think FedEx Field.
No, third was Arlington.
Arlington, Virginia.
And then FedEx.
And FedEx Field. There's one at the airport.
and then the airport, and then H Street.
And the last one is 10th and H, and upstairs is Ben's upstairs. So we have Ben's next door, full service, and Ben's upstairs is full service.
Business often doesn't survive unless there is a commitment to the community. And I think that, you know, Vita said, well, you know, you can walk with homeless, you can walk with presidents. But sometimes if you can organize that kind of love and giving back, talk to me a little bit about the foundation.
The foundation is something that we started how many years ago?
2010. So basically what came about was Mom always gave back, whether it was a child looking for school supplies or a band needing, you know, equipment or uniforms in a competition and didn't have it, or a local kung fu school that needs the kids, needed their tuition. And one of the things we found in 2010, we're like, okay, how do we create an organization where people know what we're doing and can apply or be a part of, whether it's to give or to receive? And in 2010, we started Ben's Chili Bowl Foundation.
How does it work now? Because as you just said, I'm sure that people would come to Miss Virginia, we need.
And, oh, yeah.
And you
oh,
just
yeah.
say, okay, it was my checkbook or was my time.
I'll tell you a funny story.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
It was so funny because we were, and Mom said, this is so freaking, we were downstairs and this woman comes up and she goes, I need your help. I can't pay my light bill. Mm-hmm. Mom, and it's so amazing how often that's the case, whether it's a light bill, whether it's a this or that. And they turn to Ben's for it. I think it's cool that they feel like that's a place where they feel they'll be heard. And if we can support it, we will. And I really, really am thankful with that in the community. I think that's why also you have like Mayor Fenty thinking if you're going to bring someone, the president, to a place, I think that's what's important. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it was chosen. It's who we serve day in and day out, I think, is what makes it special.
And we also served on the local boards. I was on the board of For Love of Children, which is a great organization that provided after-school tutoring, a great tutoring program that had advanced kids one or two grade levels in reading. So we also had served on that board, but served on the Thurgood Marshall Center mm-hmm. board. And so many of them, my children have done the same thing, and Ben did that before this. Before the kids, you know. So it's always, we've always been an integral part of the community, and we've enjoyed doing that. You know, this is who we are. That foundation has been, just made it a more formal way to do things, and it's bigger now.
Let's talk to Raymond. Raymond calling from D.C. Raymond, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
I want the WHUR listening audience to know that Miss Ali is genuine in everything that she say. Miss Ali, I don't know if you remember me. I'm the guy with the gray hair that got out of prison, and you gave me a job, and you didn't even know me. Roach Brown had told you about me, if you remember.
Okay.
I'm the guy with the glasses.
You know who that is.
Yeah. I know who you are. Yeah. I know who you are. I hope you're doing well.
I am, Miss Ali, and I was going to commit suicide, and Miss Ali sit me down like she was my mother and told me my life had value, and I just need to meet people, get involved with a church, and she gave me a job. I didn't stay there long. I found me another job because food service reminded me too much of prison, but Miss Ali gave me a job. She didn't even know me. All she knew was Roach Brown had called her and said, I got a guy. I had been in prison 40 years, and Miss Ali gave me a job. And she didn't even ask me no questions, no references, no nothing. And she gave me a job.
Well, Raymond, let's see what she has to say about that, because I'm running low on time. But go
well,
ahead.
I was concerned because he talked about taking his life. He's a human being. You just can't take your life. So I was concerned for him. And I thought if we could get him busy and give him work to do, he would have less time to think about being self-destructive.
How about that? Well, yeah. Raymond, thank you so much for sharing with us, and I'm glad you had an opportunity to thank her for the experience. I only have a few minutes left. I'd love to hear any advice that you would have on good parenting or advice on, you know, outside of having a great secret recipe for chili, having a successful black-owned business, what would you tell someone who said, I need some advice because my kids are out of control or my business is failing or whatever?
Well, I think you need to set that example. You need to set the work ethic example. You need to set the example about caring for others, do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you. You need to teach your young people to save money. You need to teach them that if you borrow a dollar, pay back a dollar. If you get the opportunity to have a charge card, pay it on time. You need money when you want to go out and open a business. And the way to do that is you've definitely got to have good credit.
How about that?
Yes, yeah. So that's very important. And people take that too lightly. And I think setting that example, and then, of course, I think it's best to look around and see if you can find a need and fill that need. You know, we need nurses. We need lots of things here. So if you find the need and fill the need, but more, just as importantly, you need to find something that you enjoy doing.
I only have about a minute or so left. There's a gala, and I almost forgot about it because I've got visions of chili dogs dancing in my head. But talk to me about the gala. Is it going to be at FedEx Field? You're going to need something that big with all are the Obamas coming? What are we going to do about that?
No, it's not. So the 22nd, we're going to have a day filled with festivities starting at 11 o'clock with a press conference outside of the Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street. We're closing down between 12th and 13th. And then there's a block party from 12 to 3. Then 7:30 to 10:30, we're going to be at the Lincoln Theater.
Right down the street.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it'll just a tribute to Mom and just celebrating 60 years.
And fundraiser, exactly.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the foundation. A lot of the tickets we're giving back to the community and so forth, but for those who want to support the foundation can do so as well and purchase a ticket. And we have, for the gala, we have Faith Evans, and we have some wonderful, because we went, Faith Evans and Kenny Lattimore and Mesa and Rashawn Lamar are all going to be there.
Is the information on Ben's Chili Bowl's website?
It is, and if they want to purchase a ticket, they can go to the LincolnDC.com and purchase a ticket as well.
Well, we'll be posting that information on WHUR.com, as we always do this evening. I'm out of time. Vita, thank you so much for joining this conversation. Virginia Ali, you are a blessing to D.C., to the business community, for black women. I could go on and on and on and on. Thank you so much, and it is so good to see you. I'm going to try to slide by and get me a hot dog sometime soon. Just trying to watch these pounds. But
thank you so much, Hal.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And the best of health and luck to you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks to our beautiful D.C. community.
Thank you so much. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.